I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right. Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. It's been a long time coming, but he's here at last. We are continuing WrestleMania week with the man facing The Undertaker on Sunday in Orlando. That is right. Roman Reigns finally makes it to Talk is Jericho to talk about everything. He's a Game of Thrones fanatic. He made the Minnesota Vikings practice squad, played in the Canadian Football League, worked for his sister as an office furniture installer, and comes from a long line of pro wrestlers, and we talk about all of it. A supersized conversation coming up with one of the biggest stars, controversial though, in the WWE, Roman Reigns. And if you think you know him, I think this might give you a little bit of a different perspective on the guy. One of my favorite people in the WWE, a good friend of mine, Roman Reigns, is here on Talk is Jericho. It's huge, man. And speaking of huge, how about a huge taste in pizza to serve up at your WrestleMania viewing party on Sunday night? You know who's got the hookup? People! Little Caesars! It's smokehouse season at Little Caesars with their new large smokehouse pizza. A whole lot of delicioso for just $9. This pizza's got beef brisket, pulled pork, and applewood smoked bacon. I can hear your stomach growling. This pizza's barbecue, baby. Loaded with meat, and more meat. Nothing but the meat. Plus a sweet barbecue sauce and a smokehouse seasoned crust. There ain't nothing like the smokehouse, man. I said there ain't nothing like the smokehouse. And like I said, it's only $9 plus tax. This pizza's only around for limited time and only at participating Little Caesars locations. To find one near you, hit up littlecaesars.com. The smokehouse hot and ready to eat every day from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. Only $9. What else would you expect from Little Caesars? Bring one or more home tonight and no one will ever be the same again in your house. Little Caesars Smokehouse, baby. Only $9. Go to littlecaesars.com to find out all the information.
Talk is Jericho.
Since I started doing this about 3 years ago, one of the most requested guests and the guy that we've talked about the most but never have done it is with Roman Reigns, and finally we get the chance to sit down and have this chat. I'm actually really excited about it.
It's good to be here, man. Yeah, like you said, we've just kind of dodged it somehow.
Yeah, and it's like, I think maybe if we would have done it a couple of years ago, it might not have been the same because we've worked a lot this year.
Yeah,
especially since the brand split, got a chance to hang out a bit. Mm-hmm. It's been a lot of fun over the last, I think, 6 months. Especially every time we hooked up, it was always something cool happened. Just good chemistry.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my whole time here, you've kind of done the part time thing, and I've said this many times, all my respect for you is that you're not like a part timer. When you come back, you're here. Hmm. You know what I mean? You do the house shows, you do the tours, all the brother time. yeah. And I'm glad that we missed the opportunities, because it did give us that time. And now I feel like even before we started working in the past few months, we got closer just hanging out. And then, like, not to bring it up, but I guess I'll bring up like the back of the bus brothers and stuff.
All right.
Like, yeah. So yeah, let's clear this up
right now.
Clearing this up.
Right
here. Damn it.
Let's get right to it right here.
I guess you got some heat for that, right?
I did. So what happened was I was in the ring and with the Usos were my tag team partners, and I had a little promo before and I said, I'm here with my back of the bus brothers, the Usos. And in the world we live in, someone consider that to be, maybe racism or something. Okay. Not understanding.
Sure.
Please fill everybody in.
The thing is, Us Usos, we sit in the back of the bus, and it's kind of called the Yoko Row. Yeah, because he was so big that that's really the only place he could fit.
And first of all, explain what Usos means.
Brother.
Brother in Samoan, right? Yeah. So Yoko was so big.
Yeah, he was the biggest Us. Some people call me Big Us. He was the biggest.
He would have to sit in the whole back of the bus,
he'd
right?
He'd take up the whole back, and he'd play his rap music and everything, and the boys loved him, but yeah, that's kind of the deal now. So we occupy it,
and it's kind of a badge of honor to be a back of the bus brother.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I've always liked it, and I like the group that's always back there with me. And it seems to always be the rowdiest. And I think about it like one day maybe I'm going to move up to the table up front and get out of it and get out of the storm.
Let me tell you what, brother. After 27 years, I'm looking for the back of the bus. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the last trip we were on, you guys were pretty chill in the back. I had to switch over to the heel bus, even though it was a newly grown baby face.
The jumper.
I was the bus jumper. The worst
jumper.
Thing you could
breaking
be.
All the rules.
But yeah, to be a back of the bus is like sitting in the back of the bus in school, where you go back there, you hang out. But that's when you get a chance to really get to know the guys.
That's
a
camaraderie. And like I feel like that's where I thrive, you know what I mean? That's where I'm at my most. That's my comfort zone, being with the boys and being in the locker room and just all these times. And, you know, we've been everywhere and we've seen nothing, but we have so many memories with these same people, you know, and that's why we're a family. And that's why you have to be as close as we are. And I think that's why this business is so strong, because we go out there and we do the ultimate favor for each other. We kick each other's ass and love each other for it. You know what I mean? So it's a strange group.
What you just said. We've been everywhere and seen nothing. Mm-hmm. Explain that.
Well, we're just playing our songs, man. You know what I mean? Like we're just touring the world and we do our show, and it's show business, and it is a business, and we're on the other side of it, which is cool because it's entertainment. People love it. But it's our job. And, you know, there's that fine line where you have to be an artist and you have to be yourself and you have to, you know, express yourself, but you have to be a professional and you have to be there and you have to be consistent. And, that's the toughest part. And that's another shout out of respect for you. You're Energizer Bunny, man. God, you know what I mean? You're like, I don't know how you do it. You've done it for so long. You know, I'm only since 2010. So 7 years in, five on the road. You know, I feel it already. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I like to think I've done it like a pirate and done it, you know, kind of old school, but, I still got, you know, a bunch of years in my tank, but you can feel it already. Mm-hmm. And to just keep going through it, I don't know how you do it, man.
I think one of the reasons that I can say that I still am having so much fun is there's been a whole new kind of this resurgence, rebirth, this new group of guys, and that includes you and Ambrose and Seth and, you know, the Usos and all the guys that kind of, you know, Enzo and Cass and Joe Henning and Dallas, all the guys that are the back of the Brust Brothers, quote unquote, Strowman, Gallows, Anderson. I'm not saying that there wasn't a time where guys weren't having fun, but it was a different vibe in the 2000s, and now it's like there's a whole group of guys who are enjoying the experience.
Yeah,
not that they weren't before, but it's sitting in the back and having some drinks and listening to tunes, and I love that's how I thrive.
Yeah, I don't know, like I hear all these stories, and you know, you hear them from some of the older cats, which is cool because I don't hear them too much from you. I mean, you hear them from a few other. I'm not gonna throw any names out there, but. Like just kind of it was like a competitive hate. I feel like we have like a competitive love, you know what I mean? Like I like competing with, you know, top of the line wrestlers, but like they can still be my friend. You know, I don't feel like I have to be dirty or malicious or like pull strings behind the scenes. Let's just go out there and bust our ass every night and just be as good as we're supposed to be and we'll be all right. And, you know, just don't go out there and stink out the joint. And I think that's where we're thriving and that's what makes it easy for me is we are friends. You know what I mean? It's a tough life and it's a tough schedule, but if you're doing it with people you care for and you enjoying being around them, you know what I mean? You can't go wrong. And hell, I'm with my cousins. I miss them. I'm not with my cousins.
They're SmackDown boys, yeah. You had to find new guys to hang with, yeah. But you're right. I mean, there was that kind of that element of, I guess, political backstabbing maybe or whatever it might be, but it does not exist anymore. You still in the ring would have great matches, but outside the ring, there'd be like you had to could never really trust anybody or know what to say or know who to talk to. That's all gone in this time frame.
I think it started. I mean, I don't want to take credit for it. You know, I think I was, you know, definitely like in the grouping, you know, and
your generation of guys.
Yeah, I mean, when the Shield came up, which just kind of did our thing. You know what I mean? We stuck together. That was one thing Joey Mercury told us, you know, just stick together, man. Like, watch each other's back, you know, stick together, right? Like, make sure everybody sees you together. You know what I mean? And that's what we did. And between me and Ambrose and even Seth, you know, he has kind of a little bit different vibe than we do, as you can tell. But me and Ambrose were just really, you know, we clicked really well, and we had the same, like, schedule and routine, and we still do same timing. We get to the, like, we don't ride together anymore, but we still, like, I'll pull in and then he'll be like 2 or 3 minutes, or like even if I pull in, you know, me and Ryan will sit in the car for like 20 minutes just talking, and then he'll pull up, you know what I mean? I'm like, there he is, there's the Fox.
And it's funny because when I first met him was a back of the bus brother, and I didn't really know him. He's, as you know, he's a very quiet, quirky guy.
Yeah,
and that's when I saw
sometimes, this thing. Sometimes,
and then he's like, I've got a bottle of vodka if you want. And it's like, well, I got one too. Well, then you can have mine, I can have yours. And it's like, oh, I like this guy. And then you realize, like, what a great guy, like, yeah, super fun guy. But once again, like you said, his demeanor is not really that at first.
He, you have to get to know him. He's like a book, you know. You gotta read a few pages. But he's a cool dude. He's a laid back guy. He, like most of us, once he starts drinking, he talks more. You know what I mean? He tells his stories and stuff. But he's a close knit guy, and it's cool. I'm one in his group. You know, he's in my group. We're we just clicked off the get go. You know what I mean? And I learned a lot from those guys. And but even Seth, you know what I mean? We get along a lot better, I think, now too, just because we've done this dance now. We've done it a few years. We've we've pulled, you know, the wagon for a little while together, and we understand each other a lot better now. So I'm happy about that as well.
Let's talk about this. You know, you mentioned the Shield, and Ambrose and Seth were, you know, had years of being on the indies, John Moxley and Tyler Black, and you had just basically started in the FCW, hadn't been around. How did you get grouped up with them, and kind of tell me about how the Shield came to be?
There's a lot of speculation about this, and hell, I could be wrong. You know, at that point, I was just...
You might not even know, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a little off, but apparently it was, I guess, Punk's idea, you know, like, to have security or whatever, and he had a group of guys who I believe were in there, but I wasn't one of those guys, and
you weren't one of the originals.
No, I was picked by Triple H and Vince, of course, and then the three of us were up there, and then once Vince saw us the first day when we, you know, the first night we came in, and we bombed Ryback, and, you know, kind of wrecked that match to protect Punk, but you know, who knew?
Right, the secret, yeah.
But I guess Vince just bit on us, you know what I mean? He liked what he saw. We came in aggressive. He liked how we looked. And over the weeks, it just grew further and further away from any idea of what Punk had. And we just became our own thing. And I think he knew that he had three guys who were strong enough that, you know, okay, let them learn. Let them learn together. Let them, you know, figure out this schedule, figure out this life. And once they get their legs under them, we're going to release them.
Go.
Yeah, set them loose, and that's what they did.
So when you're in FCW and they approach you about this, do they have, like, the name, or do they know what they're going to call you, the Shield? Do they have designs for your costume? How did that go?
It felt like really last minute, like in hindsight, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even remember when we got the name. I think it might have been like that morning of, you know, like through a text message or something on a Monday, or no, excuse me, Sunday, I believe. But I had just started doing loops. So, like, you know, those 2 weeks were pretty crazy for me, because I just came off my second loop ever, which was in Canada, which actually was when I was in Montreal. I remember when King had the heart attack.
Yeah, right.
Man, that was so crazy. I was on the backstage, and I was like, Jesus, what is going on?
Wow. Because
the crowd was amazing. It was going nuts. Santino was on fire. teeny.
Yeah.
King was down. Everybody's sprinting. You know what I mean? It was just such a crazy affair. And then, like, that's when I was starting to, like, catch the vibe that, oh, it's gonna happen. And they, like, just told us, and that's when, like, me, Seth, and Dean kind of started, like, having to talk and stuff, because, like, they worked together a lot. I worked with Dean a little bit, but, like, Seth was, like, top guy the whole time in FCW. He's the man. You know, and I was just kind of learning, and I tore my knee up, so I missed a little bit of time. And then when I came back after about 6 months after my meniscus tear, they put the time on me. They put me to work, and it was, you know, sink or swim. And I started working a lot of matches and getting a lot more comfortable. And I think my look was, you know, getting there. I was getting in good shape, and it was just time to throw me in the fire. Mm. And I'm glad they did. You know, I'm glad I didn't sit down there or stay in NXT and move to Orlando. I'm glad, because the best way to learn is out there. You know what right. I mean? And it, but like the whole situation just felt like I was on a, it was like the highest, you know, speed you can go on a treadmill, and it was moving so fast. Mm. And it still feels that way. Life is flying, man. Like, just to think that I've been here for 5 years already, and mm-hmm. and shit, just thinking how much we've hung out. Like,
right.
You know what
it
I mean?
Goes, it does go yeah. by fast. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned that Joey Mercury told you guys, stick together. Mm-hmm. That's before you came up here. What was his mindset behind that?
I think just from his experience and the time that he had been up here, and the, you know, the different times of, you know, the different runs that he had, and seeing the locker room and things like that, and just to watch out for each other, and to build that brotherhood, because if you're that way in real life and you're sticking together, it's going to help you on screen anyways. So like it just makes you a tighter unit, and I think that's what helped us. And that was one thing about the Shield that like I really enjoyed, is like we were a real team, you know what I mean? Like, we celebrated together, you know what I mean? Like, we sold together. It was really cool to me. And I think that's like what got us over, was like the fact that like we treated each other like brothers out mm-hmm. there, like, you know, after matches, like carrying each other out, and, you know, Seth would hug me and, you know, weird shit. Like, Dean would kiss me on my freaking head sometimes, you know what I mean? But like, and especially we would back out through the crowd and, you know, things like that. So I think that was kind of what made it so powerful and impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when Dean won the title at Money in the Bank, when he cashed in he won the Money in the Bank match, and then he cashed it in later that night to beat you or Seth? Maybe you, right?
It was Seth beat me.
And then he beat Seth. So it was such a cool moment where all three of you guys had the title within this 5-minute period. I remember backstage afterwards in the dressing room, you guys were having a little powwow, big hug, and it's like, that's real.
The old Shield hug, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's real emotion to see that.
Not many people have seen it too. I don't think there's only a handful of them, you know, mm-hmm. but we've done it after, I think one of the first ones, obviously was Mania, our first Mania in New York. But then, the coolest one to me is we did a double shot, over in Europe. And, we were somewhere in Wales. We did an early house show. We opened that show against like the Outlaws and like Sheamus or something mm-hmm. like that. Jumped on a chopper with Fandango and some array of them of the wall. Yeah, oddly enough, and kicked them out. did the landing shot. Jumped in a van. Drove right to the.
I was there. Yeah, you guys had to do a house show and then go to the.
Yeah, Raw. Right there to the O2. Did a 6-man with Team Hell No and Take mm. and. That was the coolest like rock star moment I think I've ever had. And after that, once we were done, we did the Shield hug there. And I think after pretty much, you know, the other Manias too, but I think definitely after that Money in the Bank, there was a Shield hug for sure.
Was there ever any time, like you're talking about, you guys were sticking together, would that be for like, even for booking, for finishes, for what you're doing on the show, if one guy didn't feel right?
We're smart about that, yeah. That's one thing, you hear some people like talk about that, like if we needed a win, or so like I feel like I heard it on Ryback's little shoot interview or whatever, that like they were booking, wearing a 6-man, and they're going to book Cena to go over because he was about to go on a Mania with Rock and stuff. And that was true. And we came together and we got that switched, and Cena was a good sport about it. You know, he understood.
Got a switch that you go over?
We took.
Because you had more steam?
Just because we're a team. Mm-hmm. And these are these are top superstars, no doubt.
Oh.
But like, we are a team.
Because you're a unit.
That's our gimmick, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why, you know, when I said we celebrated together, we sold together, we helped each other, are you all right? We'd say stuff like that from the apron, you know, just that type of work is what was so impressive to me and made me buy the Shield as a fan.
And everybody did buy it. It worked so well.
And they still want it. They still want to. It ain't happening, y'all. not today.
Hey, by the way, I haven't had a beer in about 5 years, but we're having a couple beers here. Two gentlemen after the show. So what is this?
He's a vodka guy.
Yeah, but I'm having a beer here.
A vodka guy.
Nice enough to some little styrofoam cup. When you're talking about the Shield, one of the best things about it was walking through the crowd down to the
ring.
Yeah,
that was cool, man.
And I've done that a couple times when I was a really bad heel in about 08, and there's always people trying to poke you and hit you and stick you.
They'll grab you now.
Did that? Yeah. Did you get ever that happen to you?
I've had my dick grabbed, yeah, like in Europe and a few other places, my butt, and like somebody got up in there once and like made me jump, you know, and I'm on steps, so what if I fall, lady? Right, you know what I mean? Like you get in there, you touch something you shouldn't be touching. I stumble. I have to cop the roll. I'm not the master of the roll. That's Ambrose. But yeah, very touchy. Some places, and it was cool, but sometimes it gets scary because like you'll be in places that are like some countries are, the culture's different. They're very touchy and they'll grab you and they go crazy. And we've had that before, and you only have so much security, you know what I mean? And it gets to the point, and that's why we had to kind of X-nay it for me. So, but yeah, that was another thing.
Oh, because you were doing it as a single guy.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of kept the tradition going, and it just became too much.
Right. Yeah. You'd have to leave like half an hour before your match to go.
Yeah, you always got to go up. And yeah, like if there's a message, we got the headset, you know, send me stuff, and then I'm trying to tell him to send it back. It's such a goofy process, but thank God for Gorilla, man. Oh my God.
For the gorilla position?
Gorilla position, yes. It makes it so much easier.
Oh, to be entering.
I can just stay in the locker room if I need to, and just okay, here we go.
Yeah, it's right there. Did you think when the Shield broke up that it was the right time for it, or did you feel that it was too early? Or
no, I thought it was too early. I thought we needed like a long baby. I thought we needed a longer baby face run, and I thought we could. And I was gonna get a hot tag for a minute. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was working, you know what I mean? It was helping all of us. And you know, through our time, we would change it up. And I'd be the guy selling. And you know, Rollins would go nuts and run his crazy comebacks like he does. Or let Ambrose go, you know, dry hump the hell out of somebody and just smash their face in. But we needed superstars. We needed singles guys. That's what this business is run off of. But for me, I felt like for them to really care about our breakup, they need to love us. And I thought we were going to have the ability to make them love us. And it was going to help, like, we could change our characters a little bit. And the way we broke up and how early it was and then just the way it went, we weren't able to do that.
That's how it goes. That's how Vince thinks sometimes.
Yeah, this is his machine, and you can bitch and you can complain, or you can take a challenge and do right. You know what I mean? You know, and respect the process and just challenge yourself and try to be creative. You know, and it just brought the thought up of, you know, going from what was y'all's TV? It was like TV 14 back in to go to a PG. Attitude, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like you got to really. It's difficult to be entertaining on a PG like as an adult doing like, you know, I mean, we're doing combat essentially. At PG, it's tough, you know, like it's hard to, you know, be super entertaining. And when you're not like dropping, you know, saying ass, you know, you're
son of a bitch.
I'm shoving everything up everybody's ass.
Right.
I'm a pop for that. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. So,
well, there was a lot of people that didn't like that and said, how am I supposed to be able to do this? But like you said, I was under the impression, well, if I can't get over in the PG environment, then I'm not as good as I think I am.
Yeah.
If you take away the tools of the ass and the hell and the son of a bitch and I got nothing left, you know, maybe I'm not that good to begin with. Because you have to, because bitching and complaining to Vince isn't going to change his mind.
No.
Nothing will. So you have to just accept it and go with it and roll with it, you know?
Yeah, and I think if you're bitching and complaining, like, that's not how you sell anybody. Mm-hmm. You have to believe and you have to sell and you have to, like, they have to see it. You know, they have to see it in your eyes. So that's the secret with him, I think.
Yeah, and then another thing, too, is that you understand this because we mentioned before about how with Ambrose and Seth had maybe more, quote-unquote, experience. But you've had experience your whole life because you come from a wrestling family.
Yeah, I mean, I've been around wrestlers. I understand this, but, you know, the people that are in this business and you know, the attitude that you have to have, the way you have to carry yourself, you know, and that it is a business. You know, that was the first thing I was taught, is when you're around the ring, it is about money. I mean, that, like, this is show business. If people don't show up, you know, if the company didn't make money, we can't do it.
Right.
You know
what I mean? Right.
So remember that you have to be on point and, you know, have your A game at all times. But for me, what helped me the most is I feel like I'm, and I don't even like to be, but a bit of a people person, you know what I mean? I learned in college, you know, that's what I liked is I went to Georgia Tech, which is in Atlanta. It's a big city. I had to learn how to like network and talk to people and get along with people and create relationships. And that's what I really like about this business and getting to meet new people and getting to do new things and like knowing the crew, knowing the catering crew, you know what I mean? Like that's why I always tell some of the young guys is know who you're working with, know the cameraman, know everybody, you know what I mean? Try to introduce yourself and personally touch people, like, you know, let them know who you are and what you're here for and your family, you know what I mean? Like, you know, and just create relationships and you're going to help yourself along the way.
Because it's like being like on a football team, everybody's part of the team, not just the guys in the ring, but like you said, the catering person, the camera
everybody,
guy,
man.
The training room.
Shout out to my Peachy Poo.
Big Peaches, yeah, the trainer.
Yeah, so people, yeah, that's one of my deals is I mess with our trainer a good bit. We have we have a lot of trainers with NXT and everything, but we have two main trainers that are on the road. Peaches and Larry. I won't start doing all the nicknames, but
Peaches has been around for a long time.
Yeah, Peaches, they've both been around for a long time, especially Peach, but I always tease him. I'm always messing with him. He's such a good sport. And
has he ever got hot at you?
No.
Once in a while, you'll see him get a little bit hot.
Yeah, but then I'll just counter it and like just, you know what I mean? It doesn't help him. I just keep prodding him even more, but I love him to death. And then Larry, I can drink with him all night long.
Yeah,
he's a great guy. Good conversation. Everybody loves Larry.
Yeah.
He's just never in the training room.
Right.
I love you, Larry. Sorry.
Talk is Jericho.
So we're talking about your history. Let's talk about your father is Afa, the Wild Samoan.
Oh.
No, Seeker.
Seeker.
I get all you guys mixed up. You all look the same.
We're all so good looking.
So Seeker. Now, so let's go. So Seeker's your dad.
The wild one.
The
yes.
Wild
yeah.
Samoan. You guys are all wild. But so Seeker's your dad.
Sometimes.
Brother was Rosie. He was in the business years ago. The superhero, Hurricane's partner, Rosie. Other, you mentioned Yoko, Usos are your cousins. Who else you got?
Usos, did you say Junior?
Junior,
yeah,
right?
Junior, Big Sam, Little Sam, Big Sam with Samu, and then with the Head Shrinkers.
Junior's Rikishi.
Yeah, Junior's Rikishi.
They're all your cousins, though?
All my cousins,
right.
Yeah. So my dad's brother, obviously, is my uncle. Afa is my uncle. But above them, you have Peter Maivia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a close, like, relation and, like, a, you know, a big mentoring thing. It was like a, you know, a father figure to them. So that's kind of, you know, like extended family.
Yeah.
You know what
Not
I mean?
Blood,
like,
but still family.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, no doubt, still family. And just to have, you know, the heart to bring them in and teach them and give them that helping hand. Mm-hmm. That makes them family forever. So,
sure.
But yeah, and Usos, and then I have a lot of other cousins. Manu, Afa Jr. He did a little bit of time.
He's here for here, yeah.
You know, and then I don't know if you ever met him. Had cousins. He's out there with Junior now in California, Reno.
Mm-hmm. See him, yeah.
Yeah, Black Pearl.
Black Pearl,
yeah.
Right.
He's been around for a long time.
Then Umaga was.
Eki was, he's my cousin. That's Junior's.
That's blood related.
Yeah. He's my first cousin. He's Junior's brother.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So, yeah. Junior, Eki, and Little Sam, Tonga Kid, they're all brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a lot of, you know, they have other brothers too who weren't in the business, but just as big and crazy.
What about Yoko? He's in Hawaii too, right?
Yeah. He's my cousin as
cousin
well.
As well.
So my dad had a whole bunch. He had like 11 brother siblings. My grandparents had a lot of kids on his side. So, well, yeah, reproduce, you know what I mean? Hey, cheers and reproduce, everybody. We're here to, you know, let's multiply.
I told this before, I got a great story that I wrote about my first book. I used to go hang around the hotel and wait for the wrestlers.
I read it, yeah. I read your first book. I still need to read the second one. Yeah, life got busy once I had to start working with you.
I can't
read your books because I'm working with you now, man.
Seeker, he was the Wild Samoan. He used to eat fish, raw fish, and he couldn't speak English because he's from the islands. And I went up to him one day at the hotel, and I said, Seeker, please, you sign book. And I had like a pen, please, you sign book. And I'm making scenes. He looks at me, goes, off, kid. And I didn't care that he told me to F off. I just could believe that he spoke English.
Yep,
and
yep.
I was like, did you hear it? He spoke English. He can speak English. But that was, oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah.
But that was the big thing back in those times. Like the Samoans were all very savage, even though it was like 1985 or whatever it was.
Right? Well, I heard he did it. I think he was riding with Hogan. Him and my uncle were riding with Hogan. They were all going up to New York at the time. They just got called up or whatever. And they got pulled over, and all of a sudden, they couldn't speak English again. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we gotta send the brother, you know, the brother out there to handle things.
He's okay to drive, but he can't speak English.
Can't speak English. Yep. Sorry, brother.
So where did you grow up?
Pensacola, Florida.
So that was with when your dad was working. Was there a territory there?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He was running like the panhandle in Alabama at this time.
Weren't the Armstrongs involved with that too?
Yeah, they're down there. PS is from Pensacola. We're deep, man. They 5-0. And Ronnie will love this. The bottom of the map, Ronnie. It's North Carolina is not in the South. If let's just straight clear this up. If it has North in the name, it's in the North.
Yeah, that's just by the name itself.
Yeah. But back to Pensacola. Yeah, he just liked the water. When he saw our beach, it reminded him of the island.
Oh, okay.
And that's where he wanted to be, and it was slow. You know, island time, bro. I was early today, too. So
cheers to this. You got here 5 minutes before I did, man. Let's have a cheers, by the way. There we are. Bing. I was actually very surprised by your punctuality because I was like, I'm fine.
That doesn't happen often.
I know. I appreciate that. So what do you remember about growing up? Did you go to the matches and hang out? Were you working at the matches?
No, to be honest, because I'm the youngest. So, like, there's a big gap between me and my brother. My brother is 15.
Brother Matt?
Yeah. Matt's 15 years older than me.
Is he?
Yeah, and I'm the baby. So, like, by the time, you know, like my memory, you know, of my childhood, he was already kind of coming out of the business and stuff. And he was training guys. But, you know, I was raised by my mom. They ended up actually separating. And,
okay,
you know, they're still separated. But, you know, for a long time, you know, I was raised by a single mom, you know. She took the weight, picked it up, and walked with it.
But you see your cousins and, you know, obviously your uncles and your father.
Oh, yeah.
Is it something that you said to yourself, I want to do this? Because you didn't come into it right away.
No, yeah, especially some of my cousins did. You know, Alpha Jr. wrestled since he was like 13 or something like that. But no, I mean, being down in Pensacola, I loved football, you know what I mean? And I always did love wrestling. I watched it all the way up until pretty much like when you guys started getting raunchy and shit. You know, my mom was like, eh. But so I would go over like my dad's and watch the Monday Night War. Mm-hmm. And that was like one of the last memories of like really watching wrestling before football really kicked in. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to wrestle, even like when I was really young. You know, especially with the twins, you know, I'd always be at their house. I'd stay at Junior's house all the time, man. For like, sometimes during the summer for like 2 weeks. And my mom would tell me, Joe, you got to come home. Come home. You know what I mean? You're my son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With my brother already being gone, Matt was already doing his thing. He was an adult. You know, one of my oldest sister, Vanessa, she was pretty much a younger adult, like 20, you know, 18 to 21 at the time. Mm-hmm. And then my sister Summer, who's 3 years older than me, she didn't like me, whatever. Yeah. We were, you know, we lived together, so we didn't want to see each other and I didn't want to be in the house with girls all the time. So I just wanted to be with the twins. They were my best friends. We did everything together. So I just hung out with them nonstop for sure. So we would dress up. We'd find Junior's old gear. Like when he was with the Head Shrinkers, he had all kinds of like cool like lava-lavas and necklaces and stuff.
Necklace.
Yeah. Like, and we'd talk about like, you know, what gear we'd have and the stuff we were going to wear. And like they were twins, of course, so whatever. So I, you know, when Alpha Junior would come down maybe like once or twice a year. So like if it was a time when he was down there, me and him we'd be the next
did you have names for yourself? Oh, okay.
Oh, I was gonna have to be Sika. He was gonna have to, he was already off us, so
Sika Junior.
I just have to be Sika. So but yeah, that was one thing. That was like where my jealousy of twins started happening.
And now you have
damn guys
and you have all, twins now of I all things twins, and so man. Do I. That's another thing we have in common. But jealousy of
this
twins.
Is actually I had to call my wife. I was like, hey, you cool if we talk about this? I'm about to do a podcast. And she's like, because we haven't talked about it at all.
Oh.
We didn't post any. No, all good.
Okay.
No, all good.
Okay.
Yeah, no worries. We didn't post any pictures. Like,
yeah.
with, you know, the internet is, especially with me sometimes, we just wanted that moment for ourselves. And they're 4 months now, and God, they're cheers to those guys. I love them.
That's the thing, though. Like you said, you have these twins, and now, you know,
my life has been dominated by twins at this point. You know what I mean? My closest relatives, you know, closest cousins, which are pretty much my best friends. You know what I mean? And my wife always says that. She thinks I have like less friends than I really do, and I tell her, I'm like, I have a lot of friends. You know what I mean? People like me, damn it. No, they don't. They're your coworkers. That's why they like you. Whatever. I'm like, and then she's like, well, who's your best friend? I'm like, well, the twins are. She's like, they're your family. They can't. I'm like,
it counts.
They are my best friends forever, for the whole, my whole life, no matter what. Like, we don't have to see each other, and we just, like, we know, you know, it's all good.
It counts.
We pick up where we left off. It's nothing.
My closest family are my two cousins, too. They're my brothers. Mm-hmm. Well, they're not your brothers. They're your second cousin. No.
They're my brothers.
You want to put it on a piece of paper, put it what you want, but they're my brothers. Mm-hmm. And that's just the bottom line, like you said. You know what I mean? When you were, so when you first started getting into playing football, and I know you said you went to Georgia Tech and you played, and then did you have aspirations? You did play in the NFL, though. Or did you get drafted by NFL?
Yeah. No, I didn't really play in the NFL.
Okay.
I did. So I got – I signed a free agent deal with Minnesota.
Gotcha.
Went to the rookie camp. Had some medical stuff that happened, which got me released by them. Got through all the medical stuff and then, you know, was just a free agent training, trying to get, you know, do camps and stuff. Did a few different tryouts. Nothing worked. Finally, I did a few weeks with Jacksonville. They cut me on like the last day. They just needed a body. Essentially, they had
a red shirt.
Just needed it. They had injured guys, and they needed a body for the last preseason game. They cut me on the last day, and then I went up to Edmonton.
Yes, so I was going to say
Canada.
I was going to say, of all places, you went from Pensacola to Edmonton.
Man, was that a switch up, big time. Yeah.
So, what did you think of the CFL? Because there's different rules, obviously.
To be honest, I wasn't a fan of the football. It's exciting. I see what y'all did. Or actually, I think, don't get pissed at me, guys. y'all may have started football before us. I think it started
England or something.
I don't know. I think somebody told me very matter-of-factly up there. I was like, it's more like something. What? We started football. Y'all just switched it up. And I was like,
sorry.
Okay,
sorry, dude. Yeah, because there's three
just
downs.
Here for the buzz. I don't want to fight. I'm just here for the buzz.
It's a three downs. It's a longer field. Yeah, well, it's more based
for me,
air.
As a defensive lineman, the neutral zone, you have a yard off. Like, so they would, like, if this is the football, they make me line up over here.
Okay.
You know? So, like, in America.
American football, you're closer.
Hands right there,
so you're way further back.
I'm all over the ball, so like, because you got to have that advantage, you got to have the jump, you know. And so it was different, and I was big. I was 320 pounds, and I was like,
which is hard to believe,
because
you're not built like any of the other guys in your family.
I'm one of the little guys. Me and the twins are the little guys.
You got lats, and amazing. Most small guys are just huge.
When people try to talk shit to me, I'd say, I'm one of the little ones in my family. You don't want to start a war here, you know. I'm like one of the scouts. The big brothers are coming, you know what I mean? The tanks are rolling in, don't worry.
That's the truth, though, too. Yeah. So you were how much?
320 pounds.
What do you weigh now?
About 265, 260.
So you're looking at about 60, 70 pounds heavier.
I dropped, man.
Where was it? Was it in your ass like the other
one? I had big legs, a big old ass, I had a belly.
Just a big lineman, right?
I was a meatball, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, I was bigger, I was stronger. But see, that football is different. You know, you want to be quicker. And if I was like I was in college, about 275, 285, I think I might have ended up staying up there. So thank God I went up there as a fat ass, because like I probably would have done well and been a quicker, you know, because you want to be a speed guy. And I think like he was a beast. He's still a badass football player for, I believe, the Dolphins. But there's a guy named Cameron Wake up there, and he was playing DN for BC. And I mean, just doing probably like 25 sacks a season. I mean, just crazy numbers. And he's still playing football, so he's an animal. But like, you need to be quick. And at that point, I was still pretty quick. You know, I was still, I move well, but it just, that weight is more for the run, you know, more for Southern football. And that was the difference for me.
Did you play the whole season in Edmonton?
Well, what I did was I was on the practice squad. So I would do a practice and I'd miss some games and then they'd activate me and I'd play some games. So I played like probably maybe three or four games, and the games I played, I played good, man. Mm-hmm. Like I did well. I'm a D tackle. So it's not like I'm not a linebacker running around getting 12 tackles a game. Like I'd get like, you know, maybe four tackles. I had like a couple forced fumbles and shit like that. But like I made a couple impactful plays too. One play was like, I think we were playing Hamilton and it was the end of the game. It was the last drive. They had a scrambling quarterback. I forget his name, but he was an American brother. And he was a runner. So he was just taking off, running, scrambling. And I peeled, you know, from the other side and was just taking an angle to cut him off because I knew he was going to try to, you know, just pick up some yardage to get a first down. And for some reason, he jumped and I just shouldered him, like just caught him, like same foot in the ground, same shoulder, and just helicoptered the shit
like
out of him.
Like you speared him.
it was more like a pounce to where you stay, you know, where you catch him at an angle.
Right.
And I helicoptered him. There's some kind of footage somewhere.
Highlight reel type footage.
Right? I helicoptered him. He fumbled. We recovered. The game was done. So, I mean, if I would have had more time, I think they would have really liked me and somebody would have, you know, made a home for me. But I'm glad they didn't.
It's funny, though, because like I was mentioning my cousin Todd. He lives in Edmonton. And the first time you went up there, he goes, "Is that Joe Hanawai?" And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, I was a big fan of his. Like, he's a big Eskimos guy, right?
Yeah.
But he recognized you. He didn't know much about wrestling. He always comes just to support me. But he knew you from the Eskimos. You know what I mean?
My badass Eskimo dude. Yeah.
So then when that's done, did you get cut from the team?
Yeah. This is like so embarrassing. I never really told this story either, and it did leave a bad taste in my mouth. But so like before practice, we'd go out there and like we'd kick a soccer ball around, and you like a hacky sack type situation. Mm-hmm. We're just f-ing around like and doing that, you know, like popping the ball around, and I was sitting there doing it. You know, you can like Pele it, you know, mm-hmm. like Ronaldinho and all that crap. And something happened to where I rolled my ankle. And this is before practice, and you know, it wasn't like during a sport, like a team function, I guess they said. So that was like right during the playoffs. So like, as a practice squad guy, getting hurt, like I'm not that useful. So I try to like tough it out, which I should have done. Is just now I can't practice. I have to be on the IR or whatever. Like got my just state
injured reserve. Yeah.
But I was like, no, I'm good. And as soon as they cleared me, they cut me. So, yeah, they got me. So like that smartened me up. You know what I mean? Like to the business part.
Right.
Like as far as like, you know, if you're an athlete, like physicality type things, health wise. So like it left it like it was kind of like it was a dick move, mm-hmm. but you know, there's no bad feelings at all. Like I loved my time with Eskimos. I'm thankful they were cutting me checks and it was feeding my daughter. So I'm very thankful for the organization.
Because the CFL,
nothing bad to say about Edmonton. CFL, Edmonton
you don't make a lot of cash as it is. It's not.
No,
like,
I wouldn't make it.
It's not like really NFL money. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're listening to Talk is Jericho.
All right. Continuing with Roman Reigns, and we're talking about the CFL. You finished there. So who do you pick up the phone and call to say, I'm ready to get in the biz? Because it seemed like you'd kind of gone through the whole wire of football, or did you just try and stay in the game, or was that the time for you to go?
Once I left Canada, I knew it was done.
Yeah.
I flew home to Atlanta. My wife was still in college. She was finishing school and taking care of our daughter at the time. And, you know, I had the money that I'd saved from Canada, so we're sitting on that. She was about to graduate, but I knew we couldn't stay in Atlanta. Like, I just, at that point, like, it was either go back to school, which I could have done that, and maybe I should have done that, or go home, you know, where my family is and people who have my back, and game plan.
Get the family
much.
Business.
Yeah, well, it wasn't even a thought yet, though. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Oh, you're talking about just where you want to base yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha. Well, like, I didn't, at that point, I was scrambling, you know what I mean? Like, I just had my daughter. She was probably, like, 6-7 months at this point, you know, by the time I got back from Canada. I'm sorry, my wife will be like, you're an idiot. You don't remember anything.
Do you even know the date?
Yeah.
What's wrong
good
with you?
God. But yeah, like the person who helped me the most was my sister, Vanessa, the oldest one. She runs a office furniture installation company. And so pretty much she just like subcontracts jobs from, you know, places that want cubicles and office furniture built, and like we build the shit out of it. And she still does it. So yeah, and if you're, you know, if little plug here,
if you're down in Pensacola, yeah,
holler at her. but she hired me and she gave me a job and I worked for her, and guess who worked there? The Usos.
Who so, also didn't know what they wanted to do at the time. They'd been on the show before.
We had no direction, you know, and the thing is, I played football and like I almost made it. And like once I got into football, I was like, I'm going to be the first one to do my own thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I got so much respect for everybody in my family because like they've all been so successful and had, you know, just great stories and great memories and done things not many men have done. But like, I was about to do my own thing, like, you know, and I think my dad really liked that. Like, he really liked the fact that I played football, I think. But it just didn't work, and she hooked us up, and we all just worked as office furniture installers. Like, we'd load trucks, we'd offload them, we'd break down the cardboard, we'd set up, you know, we'd build the shit, we'd offload we'd load the cardboard back up, we'd take it home, we'd offload it, and we do it again every single day, but like we had fun. We were the loudest like installation crew. Like people would be working, like, you know, people in cubicles, and like we're over, you know, we are. Me and my cousins, we got noises that we like inside jokes and shit. So we don't like even have to speak English to talk to each other. Like we can do grunts and weird things.
Is there one grunt that means something you can do?
Just all kinds of yeet. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and then like they'll say, yes, sir. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, just, that's a good yes, sir.
Yeah. And, like,
that one's contagious.
All kinds of them. Yeah. We just want someone makes something up. And then if all three of us do it, then everybody does it. You know, it's just like, it's the same thing for like new. Day.
Yeah.
If you pop for your team, that was the only, that's the thing I wish we did in the Shield.
Which was what? Do some more,
not comedy shit, but like sell each other's shit.
Teamwork. Yeah,
like promo wise, like if Dean, like let Dean just go off and rip people. And like, if we laugh at it, then it's okay to laugh at it.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, and that's good. Like, when like you see New Day, they'll pop for each other's stuff, and that, like, you know,
because it's natural.
It creates it too. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, they're laughing, I'll laugh. You know, things like that. But.
So but yeah, setting up the office furniture and all that stuff. So when did finally make the decision?
So we're doing that, and you know, and just like how we always are, we're still brothering. You know what I mean? Like, you know, hanging out. We had a bar. I don't think it's still there anymore. Our wives hate this bar called Boomers, and you know, we go there and just, you know, be animals and act like fools and tip them good and leave. You know what I mean? And it was just like it was. It was just one of those times in your life when you wake up and look in the mirror and you're not happy and you know it, and you put the shirt on, and God bless it, it said Proactive Installations. And I loved it because it was my family's and it was my sister's, and I knew like I owed it to her, but like at the same time I felt like I owed it to myself, because like at this time I was starting to lose weight. So I was starting to see like the old me, like in high school. I was a young stud back in high school. And then like I got in college, you get chubby, you get quiet. You know what I mean? I'm a big guy. I just, you know, I would sit over here and drink beer and hang out with the boys.
I'm not hot.
But like I was starting to shed some weight and see my old face. I didn't have hair. I got pissed. You know, we were in Boomers one day, and I had long hair when I played football. And at this point, I had really long hair. And we were in Boomers one day. We got off work early. We were all excited. Power hour. Let's go. Lightning round. We go to Boomers for an hour. Hammered. I started cutting a promo on the ton. I hate my hair. It's so hot. It's so hot outside. I'm going to White's right now. White's was the barbershop. I just left. Went to the barbershop, got my hair shaved completely.
Just went in there and
shaved
it off.
Just shaved it off. Came back, new guy, man. And I was just starting to lose that weight, and I started getting into working out again. Like, because like after football, I was just like, because they used to yell at us, like, lift that pussy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and like just go away so I can lift this. You can't even lift this. Get out of here. What are you? I know you know the form, but you can't lift this weight, so walk away. And I was tired of it. And then finally I got into it, and I was going to the Powerhouse in Pensacola and just getting into shape. And then that's the point. Like, at this point, I was by myself, like, because the twins left and went to Texas. Eki came, yeah, in the middle of the night and stole my twins, took them and got their life together. They started training, working with Booker, and next thing you know, because they were doing indies and stuff while we were working proactive, and I was just doing the daddy thing. I was going to be like the manager or something mm-hmm. like that, you know, supervisor. I was going to work my way up and maybe be a partner with my sister one day. But they were doing indies, and then Eki took them and got them on track. Then they got the tryout. Jonathan, he ended up going. Josh had to get surgery. So I had Josh for a few more months because he had to work too, because he, you know, he's got babies. So he ended up getting his knee right, getting the surgeries back. He goes, and now I'm by myself. And now I'm starting to get, like, you know, close to how I am, like closer to how I am now.
In shape wise.
Yeah. Like, just my look and everything. And I'm lonely, you know what I mean? I know I'm not doing the right thing. Like, I feel like I'm wasting away. Like, I'm just not taking advantage. I'm not progressing at this point, and I'm not being the person that I'm supposed to be. And I was in my sister's warehouse installing task chairs, you know, just building the fuck out of some task chairs. Nobody builds a task chair like me. And my dad walked in, and he just... he was just being him, you know, just had shades on, walking around, "Hey, son." And I don't know if I just made it up in my head, but I felt like he, like, was looking down on me because I'm just sitting there building some task chairs, you know what I mean? And, like, he made me, you know, he made me, you know what I mean? Like, and at this point too, like, you know, I was starting to get, like, the old look back to where, like, before I wrestled, before people knew who I was, people would still look at me like, "Who's, like, you know, I have
that." You got that look, that, man. You do.
I carry a presence like that. So, like, I would get those looks.
People,
like,
say, "Who is that guy?"
I don't know who he is, but he looks like he could be somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, does he play football? That's what it would mm-hmm. be. Like, and that would hurt too, because I didn't play football. Like, that. No, I didn't make it. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like he was like, "Yeah, just build your chairs." Yeah, just build them chairs. Like, I was just, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like...
You're starting to get bitter with yourself.
Yeah. And, like, I was just making shit up in my head. And then I just looked at him. I was like, "Dad, what do you think if I wrestled?" And he just smiled. He's like, "I thought you'd never ask."
That's great.
He left. He just left. Like, you know, I was like, "All right." Yeah. He was like, "Where's Vanessa?" And he left. He went and handled his business with my sister. And I just kept building my chairs. The next morning, I got a call from Ty Bailey, and then I flew to Tampa and I did my tryout, blew the fuck up, bruised the ropes, destroyed me. But I loved it because it killed me, and it made me almost feel like I couldn't do it, so it made me want to do it more. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. you know that feeling.
Yeah.
When you're told no, you know what I mean?
Who was in the ring training you at that point?
Oh, man. Well, Dr. Tom was there. Steve Kern was running it. I love Dr.
Tom was great.
Shout out to Dr. Tom.
Absolutely. For me, too.
You know how he is. He doesn't he doesn't respond much, but, like, it's been a while since he sent me a text. But if you're listening to this, Tom, thank you so much. I owe you, man. You're nothing but good with me. Norman Smiley, you know, Black Magic, your man. That's your boy. Yes sir.
Yeah, so you had some good guys coming in. And when you come down there too, like you said, just with the look that you have, the lineage that you have, mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things, I think, because you worked so hard, but you also, it's there. It's just like Orton. Like, you can't deny it. There's certain guys, Eddie Guerrero, it's going to happen as long as you apply yourself to doing it.
And one person I didn't, I've failed to mention was Dream. He, God rest his soul. Everyone has their own, you know, when you're such a powerful person and so influential, people are always going to have their opinions, whether they're positive or negative. For me, it's been nothing but positive. I love Dream. He he helped me believe in me. You know what I mean? He, like, especially when you're going through a transition of losing weight and trying to get, you know, trying to, like, and you're in a shark tank full of, like, Jesus, look at that bodybuilder.
Yeah.
What the 19, what's it, 20 abs? Like, come on.
So we have a tradition here on Talk is Jericho, and there's been so many of you guys that have come through under Dream's wing. You have to tell me some advice they gave you, but you have to do it in Dream's voice.
Baby. Well, this is what he told Norman, and I love that. That's why I love Magic, is he would just tell me the truth of what people were thinking about me, and he was like, I don't know, and you know Norman, and he's so polite and proper.
Well, here's the thing, Joe.
I don't know what you've done, but he loves you, Dream. He's your biggest fan. But he got it. He couldn't get rid of it if he wanted to. He couldn't sell it if he wanted to. He's got it. So, like, you know, and anytime, like, people tell me, like, or, like, you get a tweet or, like, blah, 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 you got no charisma, you don't have it, bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The motherfucker. Dream told me I have it. I just carry my swag in a different way. Mm-hmm. I'm not loud. I don't, you know, I don't peacock because I am a peacock. You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to be like the center of attention. It'll, you know, if you build it, it will come. That's just the way it is.
When you started kind of when you were working kind of as a single star and getting, push is not the right word, but getting the opportunities that you got, when you're talking with Vince, does he tell you how to deliver your lines out there? Is he just saying, just do it your way? Because there is two Romans.
Sure.
There's serious Roman, and there's the backstage Roman who, dude. Well,
that's
Joe. But you hold
He's
court.
Mine, yeah.
And, you know, you are very charismatic and great guy to be around, you know?
It's tough, you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't tell me how to told me how to deliver lines, or like maybe like if you, there was a line you need a punch, or there was like a line he really wanted. The toughest part is just the verbiage, or if something was written for you and you just can't, like, you can't, like, connect to it. You know what I mean? And you see it. It is what it is. You see it. But you have a job. It, like we talked about before, this is like a big movie. You know what I mean? And, like, I think if it was up to me, we'd all be world champions. We'd all, everybody win. Everybody get all the money, baby. You know? But, like, we're chosen for a role. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a script, and it, you know, it's a performance, and we're that's the beauty of it. That's what I love. That's what makes this more of a team than any football team I've ever been on, is that you'll put me over, you'll make me look awesome. You'll make me a winner. You know what I mean? Like, if you just think on that, like,
yeah,
like on some kind of stoner level, like, and just, it's just ridiculous. Like, just to think like how unselfish that is. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to play that role, to do that for the team.
I think sometimes, you know, fans and sometimes the guys themselves, you understand this. I understand it. Most of us back here do. Is, like you said, it is a big movie. If we get hired, cast by Steven Spielberg for the new, I don't know, Saving Private Ryan 2, and we show up there, and the script is, you know, okay, man, I shoot Roman's ear off, and then he starts crying. And you go, I would never do this. You know what's going to happen?
I wouldn't cry.
Yeah, they'll hire another guy to play you. It's the script that we get, and the director is Vince, and the executive producer, and the movie studio. And either you do it to the best of your abilities, or you don't play the part. You go somewhere else.
And I think the beauty of it all, too, is, like, it was still so fresh. You know, you got to build equity. You got to... It's one thing, you know what I mean, to drive the car when he's in it, but it's another to have the keys. You know what I mean? You got to earn that equity. You got to build it over time, and you have to get that trust. And I think we're there. I think we've been there for a while, and, you know, and I think I connect to the stuff that I, you know, that I do a lot better now. And once I started, like, getting past, like, talking, like, with the Shield, like, I had no clue what the we were talking about, you know what I mean? Like, injustice, this, and, like, like, once I got into, like, a world title picture, and then I started to, like, really think of, like, man, this is that, you know, this is the ticket. It's a golden ticket. Like, why do I want it? You know, because your life is going to be better if you're champion. So I started to make it real to me. You know what I mean? And, like, it's true, though. Like, you have to start believing it. And I notice it. You get it all the time. I guarantee it. What's up, champ?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I go to my breakfast spot, which I'm not going to tell you because I don't want you to go there. It's different. You know what I mean? People treat you different. You know, people, you know, you, you have that like effect on people, and you start to become it, and you believe it, and it makes it easy.
Talk is Jericho.
All right, who did you win your first world title from?
It was Ambrose. It was in a tournament. Like that's whenever remember Seth got hurt.
Right.
You can't ask me these questions. Somebody's going to call me out. He didn't even know when he won it.
Tell us who it was at Talk is Jericho on the Twitter. All right,
tweet to me, date? Historians.
So that was the first time. And those type of matches are cool because those are with your friends. But then you start talking about like main eventing WrestleMania. There was one with Brock. There's one with Triple H. There's a big one come up that we'll talk about. But to me, like, winning the title is huge, but it's the big matches against guys. Like, for example, my first big one was against Triple H or against Shawn Michaels. Mm-hmm. I didn't come in the business with them, didn't really know them, but you're there and you're thrust into this position. You have to adapt and make it great.
Yeah.
To me, when your match with Brock was when I really started to connect with you as a fan, which I still am, in that match at Mania, when he's kicking the shit out of you and you're basically smiling, like, say, that's it? Come on, man. You know, tell us about that whole storyline in that match.
Oh, that was crazy. That was a crazy time.
Yeah.
You know, well,
yeah, Brock is not.
You
the
got
easiest
your own
guy
stories with Brock.
Not the easiest guy to work with at times. You don't have to say it. I will.
I have no. It wasn't easy by any means. But the thing that I had a lot of confidence in is I knew it was just gonna be a fight. Mm-hmm. I knew it was gonna be brutal, and I like that shit. You know what I mean? Like, hey, if you want to bang, I'm all for it. I'm never scared. But it was just weird. It really was. It was last minute. You know what I mean? It was one of those deals where there wasn't a lot of talking. Didn't seem open to ideas. Because essentially, in their minds, and when I say their minds, I say Brock and Paul, that's a powerful pairing right there. You know, remember when we were talking about how, like, me and The Shield, we would get, because there's three of us, so, like, we'd be in, like, if we're in Vince's office or we're, like, you know, calling, negotiating matches or something, we start agreeing with each other, putting, oh, God, Seth, Jesus, I love it, yes! You know what I mean? Like, you just put each other's ideas over, then everybody, let's try it. And it worked. But those two, yeah, they're something else. But they
cards close to the vest.
They wanted to kill me. Mm. They were convinced. However many people were there, 80, whatever, wanted to see me get crushed. Mm. They were there, and they just want to see Roman get his ass beat. You know what I mean? And I can't disagree with them. But brother's got to fight. You know what I mean? Like, you can kick my ass all you want, but I'm gonna fight. You know what I mean? And that's what we did. And the coolest part of that match was I got to the after party, and like the first I walk in, me and my wife, and the first person I randomly see is Bret Hart, and he just shook my hand. He goes, "Instant classic." Mm. He's like, "There'll never be one like it. You know, there's never one like that. There'll never be another one like it."
Yeah.
And that's what I'm proud of. Is like, it's cool because it felt that way, but like as we got closer, he got more receptive and he got more into the moment, and then he was more open, and then we went out there and we did what we did. But I just think for me, it was just about taking that ass whooping, and I'm very grateful to Brock because he's got a name. Brock is legit. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll break your face. I mean, I'm not scared to go in there and have someone break mine because you've seen him crush people. I've seen him get his ass whooped too by who was it, Velasquez or whatever. But like, just have the balls to go in there and do that. You got to be a man, and I respect him, and I respect his name, and the fact that he went out and he built it. He built a brand. So for me, I took it very seriously that like I'm not gonna go out there and pussyfoot. Like, he's gonna get hit, and that was the first thing I did. Like, I knew he wanted to get straight to the city. And I was like, here we go. And nobody does this. Like, it was ding, 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 and I went right into him. Like, I mean, I didn't run at him like we were going to do a spot. Like, it was a straight, like, and I stuck him. I caught him right in the, like, right here, cut him, and then he scooped me. He scooped me, ran me right into the buckle because I pissed him off. It was like a medium, you know? It was a 60%er. You know?
I mean, it was a great match though because of the fight element.
Well, and the thing that was that helped, cause it hurt. It was easy to sell because it was a rough match. So he scooped me, ran me right into the buckles. You know, like you just do the running deal, and
yeah,
he popped a rib. Something happened. He separated a rib. It was messed up. Even when I worked with Show and went through tour for probably 2 months, I couldn't breathe. For the rest of that match, I could not breathe. And then he started suplexing me every which way. And then we got him. And then we started getting him live, which was cool, man. Because, like, oh, and that was another thing. We did the slap deal. And I was fully expecting him to knock me out. You know, I was
with
like,
the slaps?
Yeah. I mean, my jaw was, like, right there. My jaw was just, come on, get me, baby. And he couldn't. And I, like, by the third one, I got concerned. I was like, God, does your brain not work anymore? What's wrong with you, man? You can't even get concussed from Brock. What the hell? And that, I'm like killing my season. Gonna slap the shit out of me now. Next time, I'm gonna knock you out for sure. Next time, yeah, let's do that one again, dummy.
Was your dad in the front row? Was he mad? Because everyone thought you were.
Oh yeah, there was like some speculation about that. He wasn't mad. Okay. Like, you know what I mean? He just gets into it, you know. Especially that. Like,
it was a hell of a match.
It was brutal. You know, my mom cried. God bless her. She gets so, like, scared, you know what I mean? And sometimes, and I'm sure, you know, all our parents, they all call and, like, are you okay? That's all I need to know. Are you okay? And I love you. That's a lot of times in my text. I can't watch anymore. This is too much.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm proud of that match. I don't know if it was, like, I don't know if it's my favorite of all of them, but, like, I think it might be my best one. Like, it just story-wise and just the moment and like the crowd switched, and then just with Seth coming, like, it just had a little bit of everything. It was just, I thought, really good.
Yeah,
it was really good business.
I texted you after that match to tell you how much I loved it, and that's the thing to me. And you have the same thing going on right now that Cena had for years, where it's the cool thing to quote unquote boo Roman Reigns, but when you're looking at the list of why you would boo someone, you have none of those qualifications. You never have a bad match. You work your ass off. To me, it's become, you know, the I don't know if it's the cool thing to do. It's become the thing to do. It's the catchphrase to boo when people don't even really know why. But you handle it really well. It's been interesting to see.
I mean, and a lot of times, we get it all the time, baby face heel. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm just me. Mm-hmm. Like, I've always had some kind of, like, I've rubbed people either the right way or the wrong. Like, you either like me or you don't. But, like, you know, I was always, like, on a team, or, you know what I mean? Like, I was always, like, a leader. I was always, I was a captain of, you know, at Tech, you know what I mean?
You were, like, the captain of the team?
My senior year, yeah.
You're a leader, right.
I was a leader, yeah. Me, Reggie Ball, and Calvin Johnson, Megatron. Mm-hmm. And, like, even as a D-line, like, either you're going to be an alpha or you're going to be the other guy, you know what I mean? Like, that's what I like about this business, is it's a bunch of alphas, and, like, somehow we've all, like, assembled, like we were talking about earlier, and that's a thing. But for me, as long as you rub people some way,
as you get the reaction,
man, like, you have, like, a position in show business, like,
you get a top guy reaction. Either way, it might not be the top guy reaction that's expected, but it's a top guy reaction.
Well, for me, and I always say, it's loud. it's really loud. I mean, and I don't know how else to say it. It's loud.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, it's cool because, like, they compete. You know what I mean? The people who like me, you know, they're going to cheer. And then the guys who don't, did I say the guys? The guys my age who don't. They want to be louder, so it becomes a thing. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I mean, this is the world that we live in today. Not everybody's going to like you, and people want to see you do good, but not that good.
Mm-hmm. There's always that little bit there.
And I think you agree with this 100%, because I know you just are the way you are. You have to do you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to believe in you. You have to, you know, you're living your life. I'm living my life. Mm-hmm. So I can't go off of what everybody else is saying. You know, I have my routine and the things that work for me. So I have to, and so far, things have worked out. So I need to just, you know, stay on the wheel.
I like how the boss has been doing it too, because he did the same thing with John, where people are like, just turn him heel. Guess what? If you turn heel or John turned heel, all the people that are booing you, stop booing you.
Well,
they start cheering you.
But the thing is, if I turn heel, what am I? Am I just going to, like, become like a chick? Like,
that's
just
what I
like
mean.
Everything that's been done? Or
that's
not just be me?
Right.
Let people decide.
Like, no one's ever been like me. No, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This is an uncharted territory. It can be anything I want it to be. So why put myself on one side of it?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just dabble? Why not have the full range? Do whatever mm-hmm. I want. The guy. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel. Yeah. Like, it just... I'm the one writing this at this point now. Like we're in a position, we can do anything we want as long as they make noise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As long as they pay to see
and
it.
Especially, yeah. As long as they're coming, as long as they're making noise and have fun, man, boo the shit out of me. If it's making you cooler with this dude and that dude next to you and y'all are having a great night, please say all you want to me. I'm a grown man. You're not going to hurt my feelings. You know what I mean? Like, my wife is not going to think any differently of me.
Let's talk about the huge match. When you're talking about whatever the main event of WrestleMania is, and you can put whatever you want match on last or who the title is, but to me, at least one of the top two or three matches is always who's against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Oh, yeah. And here we are this year, Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker, which I loved. I loved, as soon as I snooped a couple months ago and kind of saw that on the printed page, I was like, oh.
Snooper.
It's not my snooper. I thought, like, what a great match that is. And, I mean, we're almost there, man. I mean, how are you feeling about that?
I'm just grateful, man. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, I just feel favored, like, you know, the pick of the litter and being able to do so much cool stuff. But, like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know what's going to happen next year for him. But, like, I can't imagine he has too many left. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to share the ring with him, to be in WrestleMania, like, I'm going to be able to say that I wrestled The Undertaker, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, at WrestleMania, like, not,
badge of honor.
You know, like, it's that's exactly it. You know what I mean? It's a bucket list thing. Like, you know, it's hard to describe. I'm excited, man. And I just, you know, he's done so much and he's done it for so long and he's had some rough ones. And I just want to go out there and hold that standard, mm-hmm. be able to set that bar with him and you know, do something hopefully that, you know, no one's seen him do or tell a story that, like, hadn't been told before. But just to have the opportunity to be out there and that's one thing that, you know, it took a long time. Like, I don't, because life is so fast, you know how it is. You're just in your own little world. But my cousin Josh, one of the twins, one of the Usos, he said, man, I know you don't even think about it, Us, but, like, most of these guys in the locker room, they're trying to do the things you've already done. And I'd, like, it hit me, and I thought about it, and I'm like, man, never really looked at it that way. You know what I mean? I just been stacking them up. You know what I mean? If you're on the heater, you know, stand in front of that broken ATM machine. You don't leave the heater. Stay on the table. You know, don't get hurt. Just keep working. Work your ass off. Just keep your head down and do your thing. But it's like, now that I'm wrestling The Undertaker, like, I feel like, damn, I might have done it all. You know what I mean? Like, and it still feels like it's beginning. Like, I just feel like I'm scratching the surface. Like, I haven't even done anything yet. Like, I'm still building that equity. Like, I don't even feel like I'm driving the car by myself yet, you know, on my own road. So, like, when we get to that point, and then, you know, I feel like I have just unbelievable creative liberty and just, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And just... Where it's not even like responsibilities or like about, you know, where you get to that comfortable point where it's only about art, you know, it's only about what I want to do and just the stories I want to tell. Because as a human, there's a lot of reasons I do what I do. You know, this is a job and, you know, there are, you know, things that we have to provide for and take care of and a life we live. So,
mm-hmm.
but to
it's a big one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Have you wrestled him before in a singles?
No. We had the six man, and the next night Ambrose wrestled him in a singles, and then we like put him out. We powerbombed him. I speared him through the you hear that? Well, dead man don't listen to podcasts, so like somebody, one of these demons, need to tell him that I speared your ass through the wall, boy. It's my yard. But that was one thing I really liked too, is like at the Rumble, like when I eliminated him. And that's one thing I feel like that's what I'm so in love with, like, you know, the cinema, like the camera work, like and that's one thing I tell the young guys, like, work these cameras, man. Know where that red light is. Know when it's moving, know where to go, know how to sell, keep your head up, get your hair out of your face without looking like you're getting your hair out of your face. It's hard, but you're a long hair brother.
I did, yes, man. Sir. It was always yes, got sir. My mouth. It used to drive me nuts.
But
I'll tell you what, though, when you're standing in that ring, I don't care how long you've been doing it for, when you hear that bell and those lights go out and you hear that,
it's unbelievable, man.
It's like the craziest. It still gives me goosebumps just to think about it. Never mind doing it in front of 75,000 people or whatever it's going to be in Orlando. So it's definitely a highlight for me to watch this one.
Well, you know, and I think as an ego thing, typically you want to come out last. Not, no, sir. Put me out there. No. Teleport me if you can. I don't even need an entrance. I just want to watch his entrance and just take it in, get the goosebumps, and then whoop his ass.
Go from there. Yeah. A couple last few things. When you first came in, we first came on the scene, I was like, I like this guy already because he looks like Rob Trujillo from Metallica. Has anyone ever told you that before?
Almost every day I get a tweet. We have to meet. I know he gets them too. I guess. I don't know if he's on Twitter.
He's been on the show. He's been on this show and asked him the same questions. Okay. Like, yeah, I hear about this guy all the time, and I looked him up. He looks just like me.
Yeah, and I mean,
a bigger version.
Yeah, like if I only played a guitar and just partied, and I'm sure he's a ham. You know what I mean? And I hang out with him, but I'm from a strong bloodline. You know, my dad and grandpa used to punch out horses. Now, you know, we didn't. I dig the rock and roll, you know, vibe and playing guitars. But I'm a physical being, you know what I mean?
The other one you look like is the Dothraki, Jason Momoa.
Now we'll take that. I've said this before, Game of Thrones.
Here we go.
I mean,
you're my Game of Thrones buddy.
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of how we like kind of
the original
bonded.
Idea
like,
was
drinking and bonding and yes. Game of Thrones.
I remember we were in Australia and some guy just happened to start getting into it, and you were at, you know, three seasons ahead of me, and I was just like, you watch this show?
It's the best, man.
I mean, what a show. And where are we going to – what's going to happen now in the new season? Where are we going with it?
It's all about women, man. Women run the world. Like, think about it. That's the whole theme of the whole show. Like, all it's – women are – like, Cersei has King's Landing pretty much now.
Well, Daenerys has the dragons.
Yeah, and she's on her way with her full army, and she's got the ships. The other girl, what's her name, that runs the Iron Islands that fled, so she's like a woman of power.
She's coming through too.
Then you have all the sorcerers. You got the Red Women, and then the other one that's in, like, where is she? She's over there where Daenerys was, man. Mm-hmm.
There's Anya. She's
losing it. I gotta watch
power.
It. I gotta start watching it.
Well, that's
again.
The thing.
I'm losing it.
We always laugh at that. Everyone has the same name. There's Sansa. There's Cersei.
Yeah. I wish they would have kind of. Yeah.
Can we have like a Joe and a Dave?
A little bit. Yeah. Like just separate it. I like the unique.
So, do
names,
you prescribe to the fact that Jon Snow and Daenerys are actually step siblings, and that Jon Snow is also a dragon? Dragon race.
Yeah. He. Well, yeah. That's the deal, right?
Right.
He's. Well, what would that be? They're half brother and sister.
Yeah, I'm saying step, but half, right? Half
so
siblings.
So that's the thing is, so I think he's going to end up holding the north or whatever, and then she's going to take King's Landing, and then when it's time, because, you know, she's going to want the north as well. Somehow, like, some lady in red or another sorcerer is going to just know, I think, because, like, the what's the god of fire, like, what do they call him? Lord of Light.
Yeah, Lord of Light. Yeah.
So maybe because they always have some, there's like a gimmick with why I don't know, I can forgetting her name. What Daenerys, what's like her
Daenerys, yeah, what is she? She's she is
not Cersei.
No, it's Daenerys. She is the,
we're not amateurs, guys.
No, we know this
show like nobody else. I promise.
She is the what the hell's her name?
Yeah, where's the
we're going on the Google machine right here,
internet machine. Go,
Daenerys. Say it again.
Khaleesi,
that's right, Khaleesi, which means Khaleesi. She's the queen of the dragons,
she's
right?
The mother of the dragons, yeah.
Yes.
I think she'll take the south, and and Dorne too. Remember, Dorne as well. Yeah, they're sly down there.
There's a lot of shit going on there too, and then of course there's the White Walkers. What's going to happen with them? The dragons are obviously going to have to blow them away.
Yeah, I mean, well, we've seen that they can't die. It's the Valyrian steel, and then the dragon glass or whatever.
So
I guess the fire will also like.
My favorite thing is when we did the Festival of Friendship. Someone went, "It was the Red Wedding of the WWE," and I was like, "Yeah, boy." What's your favorite episode? Is it the Red Wedding or Battle of the Bastards?
Not one.
Or is it another one?
The Battle of the Bastards was badass. That was just, they shot it so well.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
So well, like, done.
The only thing is, would you zigzag? My God, man. But like, hit a stick it, like stick a right.
Ramsey's
stick
just
a left,
like, yeah,
you know what I mean, like the straight line.
The kid is just running as Ramsey's ready to shoot him with the arrow, and you're just like, just it's like football. You just zip zag, and he just ran straight.
I mean,
like,
you're gonna blow up, and it's gonna take 15 minutes to get there.
I could have shot. It's funny, my son's going through a bow and arrow phase, and I had the bow and arrow, and I was shooting him in the air like the guys do, and I was like, oh, I could have killed Ramsey if he just went on a straight the start kid. Yeah. I could have killed him if he just would have ran a straight line. Even my stupid bow and arrow skills could have got him.
Yeah, that was a great episode. I don't know. It's oddly enough, I like the Mountain and Viper fight.
Oh,
that was awesome.
So good.
But one of my favorites was when they attacked the wall. The big battle
with the giant and everything.
Actually, that was when John didn't die. Then his girlfriend died.
Yeah.
That it was just cool because that like the giant, the big tunnel. I just thought that was really. It was finally like, okay, now we see some of this.
They built
beyond the wall action.
Big set pieces. There's usually one or two every season where it's just you can tell that
we almost were able to go when we were in Belfast.
Yes,
not like last tour or whatever. It was something they were building because they were in between season. They hadn't started. I guess they were just starting to like produce everything, but they were building all the sets, and I think the weather fell through and it was pissing down rain and messed it all up. But we were going to be able to
because I think on that day I was actually interviewing Samwell. Remember I told you, dude, I got Samwell.
He was in London, he came over
and he's like, we might go to the set. I got Samwell. It was like Game of Thrones day.
That's right. Yeah. Thought we were like a shoe-in. We had Samwell
on the show. Damn it. Yeah, man. I'm just really excited to see what happens with that, and I'm really like I said, like, dude, what a great show. So well produced, so well done. And, like, you know, there's only a couple seasons left, I think, maybe. And then they're done. They've already announced. That's it. They're finished.
No.
You know? Who's your favorite?
Let's protest this. I don't tweet much, but I might start Twittering about this.
Who's your favorite character in Game of Thrones?
Oh, now we're talking. That's tough. So many. Because, like, it's like there's so many top guys.
You know what I mean?
They did a good job of, like, diversifying and just making so many strong characters. I love the Hound.
He's coming.
I'm a big fan of, like, Jaime is a baby face to me. Cersei may be a heel to some people. She's a baby face
awesome.
To me. I'm with her. I'm the Mountain, like, the new Mountain. Like
Tyrion, Lannister.
Tyrion, yeah.
Peter Dinklage,
I mean,
he's awesome.
Can you not love him? He's a little drunk bastard.
I'd
party with him all night long. he'd rock and roll.
I drink and I think, and that's what I do, or whatever he said.
he's just making shit up at this point. making quotes and saying wise men say it.
Exactly.
I like that gimmick. That's a good one. Yeah. A wise man once said, who said that?
Oh.
Well, I just did.
Oh, yeah, exactly. A wise man.
Yeah.
A couple last questions. Where'd you get the name Roman Reigns?
Oh, that actually, I don't think many people have ever asked me this.
Because your name in FCW was?
We went through like a different phase. It was Roman Leaki, and then it was just Leaki for a while. And we had to do a weird spelling because Leaki is my real name. So that's your real first name? That's my first name. It's Leaki or Leaki. Leaki is proper. Leaki is proper. So we just play with that, and then finally I knew I wanted Roman. I liked Roman, and I just wanted Roman only. And they were like, no, you need a last name. And there's actually another guy in FCW by the name of Calvin Reigns, but he spelled it like rain, like a raindrop. They, I believe, released him, and... Sorry, brother. He's a good night, real nice brother, but sorry. Roman Reigns just sounded good to me. They were like, all right, give me four or five different names. And they're like, okay, we'll go with, I was like going through it. And Corey Graves, he was down at FCW, still working at the time. It was actually one of my good buddies, and our families were like really good friends. He told me, he was like, hey, I heard you saying Roman Reigns. What if you spelled it, like Reigns, like a king Reigns. And I was like, whoa, I like that. And there you go. Yeah, and total heel name too.
And that was signed off on before you got to WWE, or was that still?
They had like a conference call and everything. And that's by that time, Bill DeMont was there. That the whole switch was going down. Mm-hmm. That was a crazy little time there. Yeah,
switching from FCW to NXT.
Mm-hmm, yeah, but the cool thing is our timing worked out so well that we kind of dodged like the heavy part of the actual move. But like when they released Dr. Tom, we had to go through all that. And I was coming off, I was still rehabbing my knee. And then like Terry Taylor and then Bill DeMott and everybody, like the new crew was, mm-hmm. new the staff new regime, was coming yeah. in. Yeah. And there was a bit of an adjustment period, but like at that point, like I knew, and I had like been an injury. So I was thinking and I was ready and like, I was training hard and I was in, you know, some pretty good shape. And I was just ready to go. I didn't care. Somebody teach me, just somebody, mm-hmm. let me get up there. Just, and I would tell, the guy we used to, who was down there, Matt Martlero, you probably have no clue who he is,
but like one of the writers or something.
Kind of, he did a lot of like, you know, technical work. Okay. He helped Dream out a lot. Dream just kept him kind of, you know, young boyed him for a while. And then he ended up getting called up and like was a part of the creative team, mm-hmm. or something, because just because he knew all the like young talent. So he was kind of helping bridge. I don't know what happened. I think they released him a while back.
Last question. Can you pick your favorite match you've ever had?
That's such a tough one, man.
It's hard.
Yeah. Like,
depends what day it is.
I've loved so many, and not because I'm talking to you. I love so many of the ones we've done, and we did so many. You know, that's what I have, like,
on TV, off of TV,
which is cool, man. Yeah. Like that, we were able to just do so many and still have them. Like, they still rocked, and people were with it, and they're standing up. And that's another thing. Like, if they're standing up, it speaks for itself.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest one of them all for me would be with H. And
last year at WrestleMania,
man, like just to be in the ring, you know, with him, and that's another guy. It's kind of feels like, you know, with how it is with Undertaker, is like, I didn't have much, you know, it's not like we wrestled a lot. I mean, you've wrestled all over the world. Mm-hmm. We, you know, go in there, we just dance. Yeah. It's easy. But to have that timing and that chemistry, it's a little different, but I thought we did. And I feel like, one thing that was weird, it's almost like we're real similar wrestlers in a weird way. Like our timing and not, I mean, he's probably far more technical than I am. I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a brawler and do it, you know, like
he
I do.
He brawls a lot too, though.
He does. Yeah. He does. And, you know, you switch it up, mm-hmm. depending on where you're at in the program. With, right? And, yeah. you know, if it's cold, I'll wring your arm, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I just like our timing and just, you know what I mean? The way we carry ourselves, I feel like there's a similarity there. But, That was awesome, but one I really, really enjoyed, and it was rocking, was with Big Show. We had that Last Man Standing match in Chicago, and it was just, man, it was such a dope match. Like, there were, like, really cool bumps, like, you know, had some moments, and he's so good, and it's so easy with him, and like that, you know, I'm with the big in now, like,
yeah, Strowman. He had a great one at the last pay-per-view, you two guys.
Yeah, it works, and that's what I enjoy, is the matchups are always different, you know, and I feel like I'm at a size where I can be the big guy, like I was with AJ, or even how me and you sometimes do, I can power up on you, but there's just something different when you're with those giant human beings. There's not many of them, so it just, it's a spectacle in its own right. And Show, he's so good. And now he's so experienced now. I bet, like, as a younger guy, he may have been a ham to deal with. But, like, now he understands what he is. And he knows, you know, he's
so underrated, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He's a great worker, man. Yeah. Just fun to be out there with, to see those reactions to him and then what we created together and the story we told, and to climb the mountain and overcome it. It was cool, man. And like, I just really enjoyed that match, and the crowd, like I said, they were really into it. So, and you know, Chicago, and you know, those cities can be with me. So for me to have them, that was cool, man. And same with like Philly with Sheamus, like, you know, anybody, you know, people can have their opinion on Sheamus all they want. You know, he's a crazy Irishman, but I always love him because
Works hard, man.
He works hard, and he made me look like $1 million. We had Philly cheering for me. He, you know what I mean? Like Philly liked me, and I have to give so much credit to Sheamus for that. And that's why we're close. You know, that's why I hug him when I see him. You know what I mean?
Always.
And that's the deal. That you know to make up for the stories that I forgot where I was, the real gimmick is, you know, it's about the brothers, you know, and if we enjoy what we're doing, then I think everybody else will.
Great way to end it, man. We did it, dude.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thanks again to my Oos, Roman Reigns. It was a long time coming, but it was here at last and worth the wait. Might have to get him back on the pod once the new season of Game of Thrones starts. He's taking on The Undertaker on Sunday at WrestleMania 33 in Orlando. I will be facing my former best friend, Kevin Owens. Hopefully we'll see you at Access this weekend or at Mania on Sunday. But before we wrap things up, I think you need to hear Team Tiger Awesome's version of the news.
And now the news with Team Tiger Awesome. In internet news, a local man lolled himself to death after watching a video of a porcupine trying to walk through a room full of balloons. This brings the death toll caused by the video titled Piney Tear Up Dim Loons to 7. And now, a check on the Onomatopoeia Index. Oof sneaks into the rankings at number 5. Kapow falls 2 spots to 4. Blammo holds steady at 3. Borf makes a surprise climb to number 2, while Sploosh reclaims the top spot. And to follow up on last week's controversy, we'd like to remind our listeners, Vorp, Bapip, and Fwar are actually baseball statistics. This has been the news with Team Tiger Awesome. For more, listen to the Team Tiger Awesome show every Sunday on Podcast One, right here on the Jericho Network.
I love those guys. That's the kind of news we all need in this crazy world. Go hit subscribe on iTunes for the Team Tiger Awesome show. Leave them a 5-star rating and review. Start your week with a laugh every Sunday when Nick, Gage, and Truly drop new TTA episodes. And hey, subscribe for another Jericho Network show, the newest edition of the lineup, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. Mitch is a world-renowned rock and roll journalist. He's kicking off things with a supersized show, a great interview with Andy Summers of The Police, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, and actually a really funny chat with Paul Dean from Loverboy, Canadian Loverboy, talking about Kiss and talking about Bob Rock, and just a really cool conversation. I wanted a rock show on my network. I got one, Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon, every Monday. Go check that out. And of course, leave your favorite podcast, Talk is Jericho, a rating and a review. My goal is to get 2,000 reviews, and we're getting close. We're approaching the 1,500 mark. Let's go, Talk is Jericho Army. Let me see you on iTunes. Give me one of them ratings and one of them reviews. So last, big thank you to the tremendous Talk is Jericho sponsors and all of you for supporting them. Talking about ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 30% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDP Yoga related merch. Go to thebooks.com. Use my promo code Jericho to save 20% off your order. BOUQS.com. Best flowers you can buy. And Little Caesars, get the Smokehouse Pizza for just $9 for a limited time only. And then go get a Chris Jericho limited edition countdown to WrestleMania 33 card from tops.com. TOPPS.com. Go do that now. And keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. Thank you so much. And next week, next Wednesday, I got a special show. That's something close to my heart. I'm talking about Christian heavy metal. And I got Richard Christie from the Howard Stern Show and Howard Jones from The Devil You Know, former singer of Killswitch Engaged. All three of us are obsessed with Christian heavy metal, and we get together to lay it down. It's the Christian Metal Meltdown this Wednesday on Talk is Jericho. Don't you dare miss it. Have a good time at WrestleMania, and be safe. In the meantime, in the between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy!
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.